The Lord is risen. He has risen indeed. Good morning, friends. I greet you well on this day when we celebrate the triumphant resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, I want to draw your attention to the subject, making the message of the cross personal. In reading Matthew 27, verses 32 to 56, it is clear that the message of the cross of Jesus has both global and personal implications. Friends, you may have many things on your mind this morning, but you really need to consider the significance of the message of the cross of Christ. I believe John Piper said it well when he says, quote, "Life is wasted if we do not grasp the glory of the cross, cherish it for the treasure that it is, and cleave to it as the highest price, every pleasure and every deepest comfort in our pain." End quote. But how do we make the message of the cross personal? My friends, the fact is, you and I really need to ask of the text this morning, what does the cross of Christ have to do with me? The gospel writer in Matthew, the 27th chapter, verses 32 to 56, captures the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What observations can we make from this text, my friends, that can help us to make the message of the cross personal? Friends, if we are to make the message of the cross personal, you and I must know that, one, carrying the cross must be a conscious choice we make every day. You know, in documenting the journey of our Lord Jesus Christ to Golgotha, the place of the skull, Matthew tells us in verse 32 that, quote, "they forced him to carry the cross," end quote. Friends, here we see Simon of Cyrene simply caught up in the most important event in history and was forced by a soldier to help carry the cross of Christ. What Simon was forced to do, each of us have been called by God to do willingly, that is to take up our cross and follow him. Mark 8:34 tells us, "Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily and follow me." What does it mean to take up your cross and follow Jesus? Well, to take up your cross and follow Jesus is to accept suffering and shame as part of the price of following Jesus. To take up your cross and follow Jesus is to share in the victory of Christ over sin and death through the cross. The hymn writer is correct when he asked, "Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free?" No, my friends, there is a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. You see, when we strive to be people marked by godliness, when we strive to be people of integrity, when we're committed to truth-telling, when we're committed to actions that please God, you and I will naturally make some enemies. Because just by being people of integrity, we will face some difficulties. And because of our stance for Jesus, we will have to bear some cross in this world. Be encouraged, my friends. You're in good company. The Word of God says in 2 Timothy 2:3, "You there must end your hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Friends, carrying the cross must be a conscious choice that we make every day. For, as the Scripture says in Philippians 1:29, "For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him." Secondly, if we are to make the message of Christ personal, what we do with Jesus will determine our eternal destiny. Matthew tells us in chapter 27, verse 38, that two rebels were crucified with him, quote unquote. Why were these two criminals crucified with Jesus? Well, according to Isaiah 53, verse 9, this happened to fulfill prophecy. We also know that the presence of the criminals beside Jesus on the cross shines a bright spotlight on his love and compassion. Friends, Even in his own suffering, Jesus demonstrated his love and compassion for a criminal who was prepared to repent and seek the Lord's great salvation. Can you imagine the joy he experienced when Jesus leaned over, even in pain, and said to him, "Today you shall be with me in paradise"? The thieves on the cross also show us the foolishness of rejecting Jesus Christ because of fear and because of one's commitment to sin. The truth is, friends, it is utter foolishness to reject Jesus Christ, because when you do, you have absolutely no hope. But when you fear God and cry out to Jesus in humility, he will reach down his mighty hand and save you no matter how messed up you are. In his book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis writes, quote, "For Jesus to claim to have authority to forgive sins, to have always existed, to intend to come back and judge the world at the end of time, either makes Jesus a liar, a lunatic, or Lord," end quote. Who is Jesus to you, my friend? Who do you say that he is on this wonderful morning? You see, the presence of the criminals on either side of Jesus is a powerful reminder that what we decide about Jesus today seals our eternal destiny. The best thing you can do with your life is to surrender to Jesus, because life on earth is preparation for eternity. Thirdly, if we're to make the message of the cross personal, you and I must know that at the cross, Jesus modeled meekness for us. At the cross, Jesus modeled meekness for us. Matthew described for us in chapter 27, verses 41 and 42, how Jesus was mocked. They said, quote, "Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God. You'll save others, but himself he cannot save." Friends, in our world today, people are prepared to push their way to popularity and power. They are prepared to bomb their way to peace. Ours is a world in which might seems to be right. But the Jesus way is another way. At the cross, Jesus modeled meekness for us. Simply put, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is power under control. Jesus modeled meekness by how he responded when he was mocked and insulted on the cross. Friends, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. But as we read in 1 Peter 2:23, we are told, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued trusting himself to him who judges justly, end quote. Friends, meekness is a requirement for all followers of Jesus. When others stab you in the back, when they falsely accuse you, when they hurt you, when they exhibit their natural desire to push you aside, the truth is you would want your own pound of flesh. But when you practice meekness like Jesus, you will leave the battles to the Lord. You will leave all vengeance to him who never lost a battle and will always fight for you. Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Fourth, if we're to make the message of the cross of Jesus personal, we must remember that at the cross, Jesus gave us unhindered access to the Father. Matthew 27:51 tells us, "At that moment, the temple curtain was ripped in two from top to bottom. There was an earthquake and the rocks split in pieces. There were people who were raised from the dead and walked into the city." Friends, this is really amazing. You know, when you read Leviticus and you're reminded of the Levitical system and what was required for God to forgive sins, it should leave you speechless to know that at the cross, Jesus has given us unhindered access to the Father. Intercession, prayer is really possible in a way that is unhindered. You know, it may take you a while to have audience with the Prime Minister if you make such a request. But today, you and I have unhindered access to God through Jesus Christ. We need no intermediary. Right now, you can pause what you're doing and have a little talk with Jesus. You can tell him all about your troubles. friend, God is a prayer answering God. Nothing is impossible with God. God can reconcile broken relationships. God can bring back a wayward child to the Father's house. God can heal your heart shattered by grief. God can unlock your self-imposed prison of fear and give you true freedom in Christ this morning. Talk to God, my friends. He's still in the miracle-working business. When Jesus rose from the dead, we saw miracles, signs, and wonders. Friend, if we are to make the message of the cross personal, you must know that we should have the conviction that Jesus is the Son of God. You know, the Bible tells us that when the centurion saw what was happening with the earthquake and the darkness was upon the face of the earth, as it were, the Word of God says, he said, surely, this was the Son of God. My friends, this is a conviction that we should have. Why? This conviction gives us a basis for worldwide evangelism. Not only that, the fact that Jesus is the Son of God gives us a basis for us to have Jesus as the focus of our real worship. Surely, there are some wonderful people in our world today, but none of them require or deserve our worship. We, as human beings, are mere mortal. God is in a class by himself. He's worthy of our worship. Him who rose from the dead must be worshipped forevermore. Indeed, that is what John was reminded of by the angel in the book of Revelation. Do not worship me, worship him who sits on the throne. My friends, how do you make the message of the cross personal? Well, God's word makes it clear for us. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved by it is the power of God, according to 1 Corinthians 1:18. Friends, the message of the cross of Jesus is global in scope, but you and I must also make the message of the cross personal. May God bless you today on this resurrection day as you make the message of the cross personal to you.